Came in just a little bit late. My name is Lance, and I serve as a lead pastor here at Bethel. So glad to have you with us. If this is your first time, picked a great Sunday to check out Bethel because we're beginning a new series today entitled Miracles on Tiny Town. Every Christmas season, I always tell this story from when I was a kid. When I was about seven, and I had one brother, he was about five, and we were wondering at that age, and I know kids in here, a lot of children in here, so don't worry, but we were wondering, is the man in the big red suit, is he for real? Is he real or is he not real? We were wondering at 5 and 7 years old. And that Christmas season, my mom actually gave my dad the responsibility of buying the Christmas gifts. And one of the things my dad, man, he must have been a shopaholic. Every time, I mean, he probably shopped from summer to December. Every time he would go to the store and he would see something that he thought we would like, he would purchase that gift. And so I never forget, on Christmas morning, we woke up very early, just like many of us. We remember waking up, probably it was 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, like our kids probably do today. And we ran into the living room. And I remember getting into the living room, and friends, there were gifts from one side of the room to the other. From basketball goals to basketball, baseball, micro machines. You got to be 38 and over. Remember micro machines? Y'all remember those little micro machines? I mean, you're talking about just a plethora of gifts. And my brother got so excited. He ran as fast as he could in my mom and dad's room, 4 o'clock in the morning, jumped into bed and said, "Mommy and Daddy, I know Santa Claus is real because there is no way you guys can afford all these gifts." I mean, it was settled right then and there. Santa is for real. But you know, as a child, why is it as a child it's so easy for us to believe? We believe, we take people at their word, don't we, as a child. When somebody says they're going to do something, we believe they're actually going to do it. But something happens to us as adults. As we age, there's something that happens to you and I that really causes us not to believe, not to trust, not to think that a miracle can actually happen to me. What is it about us as adults? Maybe it's because we've been believing for many years or many months and it has not happened. And maybe it's just we've given up hope. We stopped believing. Maybe it's because as adults we rationalize things too many times. And in our minds we say, well, that can't happen because of this, or that won't happen because of that. Maybe it's because we've been believing, but what we've been believing for hadn't happened to us, but it's happening to everybody around us. Our friends are experiencing the things that we're believing in. And what's happening, maybe it's because our heart begins to harden, our heart becomes calloused, and we really stop believing. We really lose hope in what we're believing for. Maybe it's because we're really afraid to believe again. Because we put ourselves out there one time, and whatever we were believing for did not happen. Therefore, there's something in us that says, don't step out again. There's something in us that keeps us from believing. That keeps us from believing for a miracle. We don't want to get hurt. Maybe it's because we've been let down too many times. Maybe it's because we have a wrong view of God. Maybe we view God like a watchmaker. You know, a watchmaker. A watchmaker will make a watch. They'll set it, but then they'll step away from it and allow it to function on its own. Maybe we think God's like that. That God kind of set everything in order, kind of said, "All right, here you go," and he steps back as a transcendent God. But he's not. I don't see him as an immanent God, somebody who is close to me, a God that's actually involved in my life. Maybe it's because we see him as too distant from us. Maybe it's because you felt like that God did make a promise to you, but you've been believing and holding on, but you feel yourself, you're losing hope that that promise is ever going to come to pass for you. Maybe it's because you simply don't believe in miracles. You don't think miracles can happen. There are many reasons that why, as adults, we really stop believing. And we stop trusting and we stop praying and asking God for certain things. But today my hope is, and really throughout this series, is my hope is that that belief begins to come back. Or for some of us, that there may be something very small in you that believes. But throughout this series, that begins to grow. Because I'm here to tell you today, and what we're going to see today and throughout this series, that miracles do happen. And here's the thing. They can happen to you. And so what I'm asking for you to do is open up your heart and give yourself the opportunity to step out and believe again. I can hear you, some of you might be saying already, well, Lance, that's silly. Miracles cannot happen. And my response to you is this, that mentally a lot of us believe that God is all powerful. We talk about the power of God. But in our heart, what's silly is that we believe this all-powerful God can't do anything. Now, that's silly. To talk about how powerful he is, to read about in our Bibles how powerful he is, but yet when it comes to our own life and our own circumstance, we think, well, that cannot happen to me. You know, as we look throughout Scripture, we'll see that, like in Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That means the same Jesus that walked this earth over 2,000 years ago, performing miracles, can do the same for you and I right now. Jesus is God, meaning that he is Jehovah. He's El Shaddai. That means he's the Almighty. He's the all-sufficient ones. And if a miracle is going to happen in our life, friend, it's going to happen by you and I putting our confidence and our trust in the name of Jesus. And the reason why it's in his name is the very same reason why we are saved in his name. Because Jesus Christ, he proved that he was God by rising from the dead. I don't know if you know it or not, but everybody else that has died is what? Still dead. Jesus is the only one that has got up. He did what no one else has ever done or ever will do. He performed the greatest miracle of all. First off, by being born of a virgin. This is what we celebrate at Christmas time. Jesus Christ was born from the Virgin Mary by being conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's a miracle. That has not happened. If you think it happens today, then you're right crazy. It doesn't. It happened one time and that's it. Christ, through Christ. And the other miracle is that he conquered death and hell. That he did rise from the dead. All of us here, I believe you're like me, you love to go to movies. And as we go to movies, we're mesmerized because every movie today is about some superhero, isn't it? I mean, where's the good murder mysteries? They don't exist anymore. Every movie is about a superhero, and we're mesmerized by superheroes. We love to go watch superheroes. We love to watch the wisdom and the knowledge of Iron Man. We love to watch the power and the strength of the Incredible Hulk or Thor. Or we love to watch Captain America with his good looks. You men know he looks good. Don't lie. I will say there's only two men that look good in my life. Captain America and Denzel Washington. They're the only two. You will never say anybody else looks good, man, wife, except them. But we love Captain America's good looks. We love his courage. We love his bravery. And I love superhero movies, but there is a danger in you and I walking in and watching a superhero movie or some fairy tale. Because we get enamored by their strength and their power, yet we walk out, and in the back of our minds, we say what? That's not real. That can't ever happen. Nobody has that kind of power. Nobody has that kind of strength. And we don't know it, but what is happening is that our ability to believe starts to be chipped away at. Now listen, I'm not saying don't go to superhero movies. I love superhero movies, and I love watching movies. But something does happen. We believe in holiday figures, we believe in fairy tales, but yet as we age, something begins to chip away at us, and we say things like, that's not real, that can't happen, that won't happen. And when it comes to the real power of God, the real power of Jesus, we walk away saying the same thing. Well, that's just a story. That can't happen to me. That won't happen. And we miss out on a miracle being performed in Jesus' name into our lives. And it's not that we just don't get our prayers answered. What really happens is we miss out on experiencing a part of Jesus that we only get to experience by going through a miracle situation. See, everybody wants a miracle, but nobody wants to be in a miracle situation because it's tough. It's tough. But to be honest with you, This is why miracles happen in the New Testament and today, so that you can experience a part of God's character, a part of God's power through Christ that you could not get any other way. Miracles are a sign that points that Jesus Christ, that He is who He said He is, that He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, that He is God. Back to the movie thing and the superhero thing and the fairy tale thing. The reason why we go is why? It's because in our hearts we long to see that kind of power displayed in our life. But a superhero power, it's not real. Fairy tales are not real. But friend, Jesus Christ, He is real. And He still performs miracles today. He does it. There's proof that we have that Jesus' power is real. Each time you read these stories in this Bible, we don't have to walk away like we do from watching a movie and say, well, that's not real. We can walk away saying, that's real. That can happen. That will happen. Jesus does perform miracles. This is why we scream at you nicely. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Because I don't have to vicariously live through this. I can experience this. See, in movies, we vicariously live through the character, but then we walk out and we live the same old boring life. This is something that we can actually live out. The promises of God, the Word of God coming through your life. Oh, Jesus, thank you. The Word of God takes you from that can happen to that can happen. That won't happen to that will happen. That could happen to, praise God, it is happening right now in my life. When you read these stories of the miracles that Jesus performed, what happens? Your faith rises. You go from can't to maybe to can to will to yes. God's miracle working power is happening for me. That's why Jesus, that's why He healed people, rose them from the dead, fed 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. What was He doing? He was proving to us that He is the Son of God and that He has miracle working power. So, what do we do with all this? Today, why can you and I trust and believe in a miracle? What biblical truths do we have that we can stand on as we're waiting for our miracle to come to pass? And that's important to understand, is that the truth is, can some miracles happen as soon as somebody prays for you? Yes, they can happen immediately. But most of the time, and what I have experienced with myself, my family, others I have pastored and prayed for, is it usually takes a little bit of time for a miracle to come to pass. I mean, God's not the fairy godmother. He doesn't say bibbidi-bobbidi-boo and bam, here it comes. Most of the time it doesn't happen like that. Most of the time it's you being faithful and obedient to God, walking things out in the miracle slowly, but it begins to come to pass. You know, the thing I love about Cinderella, though, talk about Cinderella here for a minute. What I love about Cinderella is I love the scene where the fairy godmother does show up. Because Cinderella's at the point where she's saying to herself, I can't believe anymore. There's really no point for me to believe. And I love the fairy godmother. She looks at Cinderella and she says, nothing? And Cinderella said, nothing. And the fairy godmother says this. She says, nonsense, child. She says, if you have lost all your faith, I couldn't be here. She says, but I'm here. See, some of you today, you think you've lost the ability to believe, but you're here. And you're here not on your own. God has brought you here. I believe that with all of my heart. 15 years ago, I didn't walk in a church building because I wanted to be religious and start doing things right. No, somebody invited me, and the power of the Spirit of God was drawing me. So if you're here today, there's something in here that's causing you to believe. And that's going to grow. And you're going to be able to reach out and take hold of your miracle. I'm believing it with all of my heart. But what do we have as we're waiting? What do we have to stand on? What can we put our trust in? Well, first off, it's simply this. It's God's sovereignty. We can trust in the sovereignty of God. That simply means that God exercises some sovereign control over all His creation. When you belong to Jesus, all of your actions are governed by Him. Acts 17:28 tells us, is in Him, that's in Christ, We live, move, and have our being. Proverbs 20:24 tells us, he says, a man or woman's steps are what? Ordered by the Lord. That means God is directing you. He lives in you. And he's now directing your steps. He's directing your decisions. He's sovereign, meaning that he's in control. But it's not just his sovereignty that we need to understand. It's also that, yes, he's sovereign. Yes, he's in control. Yes, he's providential. But he's also good. That this is a good, sovereign God, a loving God that we serve. Meaning he's not just in control, but in his control, he's good towards you and I. And he didn't have to try to be good. He didn't have to conjure up the strength to be good. This is who he is. He's good to us. And in his goodness comes his love. God gives us himself for us. He's laid down his life for you and I, that we could experience these promises, that we could have miracles come into our life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9, I love this. This is Christ teaching us about who he is, about the Heavenly Father. He says, which of you, he's talking to us as parents. He says, which of you, if his son asks for a bread or daughter asks for bread, will give him a stone? If you as a parent, if your child asks you for something, for bread, are you going to give him a stone, Jesus is saying? You're like, of course not. Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, praise God, will your Father in heaven give good gifts to what? Those who ask him. We have to ask. You say, Pastor, I've been asking. I've been praying. I've been believing. And it has not happened. Well, my encouragement to you, keep asking. Keep praying. Keep believing. But understand this, in your asking, you are not a beggar. You are not a beggar. You are a son and daughter of the living God. That means I don't have to come to God and beg him. Please, 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 please. I can come with my head held up high saying, God, I belong to you. You're my daddy in heaven. I'm a son of God. You have changed me. And God, I'm asking for this, and I believe I've received it in Jesus' name. Some of you need to quit going to God like with the Eeyore spirit. You know what the Eeyore spirit, Winnie the Pooh? Oh, I guess. We come to God with our heads down, slumped over. I mean, if my kids come to me like that, Daddy, can I have? I'm like, get your head up. Mama, what they've been smoking? Don't talk to me like that. Come and ask me as my child. You're my baby. You can ask me for something in confidence. It's the same with our Heavenly Father. We come with our head up. I'm not a beggar. I can come with my head held high and say, God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to intercede for me. I need you to come and change this situation. Well, Pastor, I asked yesterday, can I ask again? Of course you can. I ask every day, God, change this situation. Heal this marriage. Heal this person. Let a miracle finances break out for these people. Lord, let it happen to me. But I'm a son. I'm a daughter. So his sovereignty, we can lean on his sovereignty. Number two, what else do we have? Man, we have the gift of salvation. Well, how does that apply to believing in miracles? We forget that salvation is a miracle. It's one of the greatest proofs that we have. I don't deserve to stand before you today as a pastor. My life was a wreck. I was in so much immorality, so much filthiness. God rescued me, not because I made a good decision. He changed me, not because I got religious. He came and rescued me. That means he took me out of the miry clay, took me out of the filth I was in, and he saved me. Salvation comes from him. He said, this is my child. Get over here. Stop acting like an idiot, Lance. He put conviction and godly sorrow into my heart. And I was born again, and I received the gift of salvation. It is or was a miracle. It's the same for every one of us here today. This is something we can look at and see if salvation is for today, and obviously it is, then so is God's miracle working power in your life or anything else. What else do we have? We have the birth, the life, and the resurrection of Jesus. Pastor, I need proof. Well, I do too. Good question. And Jesus left us with proof. Proof outside of the Word of God. You know, the age we live in today, there are more nons now, people who do not identify themselves as any religion, than there are Roman Catholics. They are on the rise. Belief is going down, and agnosticism, atheism, naturalism is going up. People no longer identify themselves as believing in God. So we have to have something to offer them out. People will come and read this and believe. No, they're not going. This is nothing to them. It's like a textbook. But Jesus, he left us with proof that we have outside of Scripture. We have the execution. This is for those who are in the room who are wondering, you know, is this whole Jesus stuff, is it real? This whole rising from the dead, it sounds like a fairy tale. Is it real? Yes. We have the execution. The Romans were experts at executing people. Jesus did not go to sleep, and he was not in a coma. He was dead. They killed the brother. They stabbed him. Water and blood came out at the same time. He was dead. So we have that. We have the empty tomb. The tomb is empty. Jesus did get up. We have eyewitnesses. They said over 500 people saw the risen Lord. Let me tell you something. 500 people did not get it wrong. 500 people saw him. They saw him walking around. We have the early records. There were people that actually wrote about Jesus that didn't believe that he was God. They wrote about who he was. And we have the emergence of the church. The explosion of the church proved that something had to happen for these men to stand against such persecution. They stood against death itself to believe in this Jesus and believe in his mission. Something had to happen. So God has left us with this evidence, with this truth. So how do we respond to these truths? The sovereignty, salvation, the birth, life, and resurrection of Jesus. What's our response in all this? As we are waiting for this miracle, what do we do? Well, the first one is simply this. Two things here. Miss Jan, you come on up. Is we believe. We believe. I love the story in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. There's a man who's actually a dad. And he's come to Jesus because his boy is being tormented by a demon. The demon's throwing him into the fire and the water, and it's tormenting the kid. He comes to Jesus, and like any parent would, he's frantic, and he comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, if you can heal my son, please do. And I love Jesus. Jesus looked at him, and he doesn't answer his prayer. Really, he says this. He turns it back on him. He says, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. What's Jesus saying here? What's he doing? He's showing us that there's something about our faith, our belief in him and his power, that causes that power to be activated in our life. Can God do it without us? You better believe it. But yet again, remember what I said? He wants us to experience a part of him that we cannot experience any other way except being in a miracle situation. If you can. The man said, Lord, I believe. But he's human. He's like all of us. What does he say? But help. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. There was a battle that he was facing, like all of us do. And I believe today, but tomorrow somehow, oh God, I don't know about it. The second thing is this, is trust. It's easy to preach and hard to live. See, God's timing is always perfect. Always. I've prayed for things many times, and they have not come to pass. Many times. I believed, I trusted, I prayed, but yet for some reason it just didn't happen. So what do I have to do? I got to trust that God knows what's best. See, he is God. That means he's smarter than I am. He knows what I need and what I don't need. And so if you're praying today and you're believing for the miracle, you've got to come to a point where you say, Lord, even if it doesn't happen, even if it never comes to pass, you're still God. You're still Lord. You're still King. you're still master. Because your will and your way is perfect in my life. And I'm trusting in that. You know, here at Bethel, we've seen God work in miraculous ways. I never forget a couple that became really good friends of Dee and I. They actually there was a pastor that I invited in that came in and he prayed over this couple. And he prayed that their marriage was going to be a model to the military community. But right after that, hell broke loose in their life. It's funny how when you get a promise from God, you better get ready. Because here comes hell itself to try to take that promise from you. Hell broke out in their marriage. Some things happened. Wife made some decisions. And for 1 year, remember, miracles sometimes take time. For a whole year, this man stood and prayed and believed, God, why would you tell me that my marriage is going to be a model to the military and I get a divorce? He stood on that word. He believed. He trusted. Gosh, in that year, I want you to know that I lost faith. He called me every day, Lance, what do I do? I was like, bro, I don't know what to do anymore. Like, I've told you everything I can tell you. We've tried all the tricks. I don't know. He just kept believing. And after 1 year, I'll never forget, she woke up. God got a hold of her. Came back, repented. They reconciled. Got 2 more babies now. Just a tremendous marriage. He's a miracle worker. Gerald Lee, I don't think he's in here this service. Gerald Lee, sung on the praise team, African-American man, stood right here. On the way to the hospital, heart attack, died on the way to the hospital. God raised him up, healed him, right there. Think about Pastor Travis here. Him and his wife, Shanna, for a long time, had a very hard time having babies. Believing, went to the doctors, all those things, great things. But one day, I never forget, Victory Weekend, we laid hands on them and prayed for them. A couple months later, praise God. Now they got 3 baby boys. See, I don't know where you're at today. Pastor Travis, come on up. I don't know where you're at today. But as a church family, today and throughout this series, we're going to believe that whatever your miracle you're going to believe, that you're believing for, it's going to happen in the name of Jesus. Amen? God's power is real. It's real. And my encouragement to you today is if you've been hurt or you've been believing it hadn't happened, let's just take another step, because you never know. That next step, you could be stepping right into a miracle, your miracle. You never know. Let's stand to our feet today. You know, as we pray here, I'm not going to ask you to come down front, but I am going to ask you to, here in a moment, if you're believing for a miracle, let's all just bow our heads. If that is you, you say, here I am. I need God's miracle working power. I need a miracle. There's no other way this is going to be solved but yet in God, through Christ. If that is you, can you just raise your hand? Everybody's heads are bowed. Now, if your hand's not raised and you've been a member here and you're on the prayer team or been a leader here, just look around. I want you to just lay your hands on them. We're going to pray for them right now as a church family. Just put your hand on the shoulder. We're going to believe God and pray for these hands that are raised. Father, right now, Lord, you see every hands that are raised. And God, we as a church family, Lord, we lock arms, Father. And Lord, we're trusting in you, Lord. You know their situation. You know what they're going through. You know what circumstance they're in. And Father, right now, we are calling forth your power, sir. In the name of Jesus, we're calling for the miracle-working power of God. Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I thank you, Lord, that your will is perfect. And we just speak, God, to every situation, and we say, come in line to the Word of God right now in Jesus' name. Whether it's sickness, whether it's wanting to have a baby, finances, new job, Lord, whatever it may be, sir. God, we speak that healing power. We thank you, Father, that their faith is rising. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to answer their prayers, Lord, in due time. Lord, I pray for the strength to not give up, that they would keep pressing, that they would keep believing, Lord, they would not lose heart, but they would take hold once again. For those that are raising their hands that may have lost all hope, Lord, I pray that hope once again would arise in them like never before. To take hold of that promise and trust in you and thank you, God. We're saying today that in the days and months to come, these will come to pass in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can put your hands down. I want Pastor Travis to pray specifically because I know there's been a lot of ladies that are married that have been wanting to have a baby. And we're going to stand in agreement as a church today and pray for that. Pastor Travis and his lovely wife, Shanna, they face this. And so we're not going to ask you to raise your hand because we know that's a sensitive thing. But Pastor Travis is going to pray for that.
So I just have to say, though, you know, when you pray for miracles like this, you never know what God is going to do in those situations because, you know, as my wife and I believe for our baby and we prayed and went to Victory Weekend, I'll just put it this way. The last time we didn't pray, it just happened. So just know that those things that are unexpected sometimes happen as well. That's right. So you better want the miracle if you do this and pray this. So I would just encourage you, if you are believing God, husbands and wives, that you would just place your hands on your women, place your hands on your wombs, your bellies, and let's just pray and believe God this morning for miracles to happen
in
these relationships and in the birthing of these children. Father, we just thank you and praise you today, God. Father, we do recognize you as a miracle-working God.
Yes, yes.
And Father, in this moment today, I pray that you stir our faith, God, to believe for things that we cannot see with our natural eyes. But Father, you would open our eyes in the Spirit, Father, that we would see this thing come to pass. Father, your word says that we call those things as not as though
Lord.
They were.
Yes, Lord.
While every situation, everything may be speaking in our ear that this isn't ever going to happen. Father, I know that your word says that children are a gift from the Lord. They are a heritage from the Lord. And Father, I know that you are stirring that in our hearts this morning. Father, that you are stirring hope and faith to believe for this. God, I pray that you, whatever's going on in the physical sense, God, whether it be the husband or the wife, God, Father, you would just take those things and your healing power, Father, would come in and stir. Father, as we have our hands laid on our stomachs today, God, Father, you would just go right now by your Spirit, Holy Spirit, and that you would clean out the things that need to be cleaned out, Father,
Lord.
That you would open up the things that you would bring healing to ovaries, Father, and anything else that needs to happen, God, for these children, for conception to occur. Father, we just are believing for that this morning. And I also pray, Father, that the stress and anxiety that comes on trying to think about this and figure it out, Father, that you would just relieve that in this moment
right
now,
peace,
God, that we would just have peace and be able to rest in knowing that by your Spirit, this thing is going to come to pass. And Father, that our eyes now see it and we believe with faith in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. For every marriage in this room, sir, that God, maybe their spouse is here, maybe they're not. God, we just come into you today and we ask you, God, just like that testimony we heard, Lord, I pray for the miracle of marriages being reconciled and restored. God, let it happen in the name of Jesus. I pray for my friends here today that are believing for their spouse. Lord, let strong encouragement rest in them today to keep fighting, to not give up hope. Lord, I pray for those who maybe it's a relationship with a parent or friend, whatever it may be. God, we ask you for that. God, for financial miracles, let them break out. For new jobs, God, there's friends in here need jobs and better jobs. Lord, let them come. Lord, for our children to get saved, for salvation to come to our home. God, we're believing, Father, in this series that great things are going to happen as we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a big hand clap. Come on. Come on, let's clap our hand like he's already performed a miracle for us. Yes, Lord. You guys can be seated just for a moment. You know, listen, one thing we want to do throughout this series is every series we have a hashtag right there, MiraclesBC, BCC. And what we'd like for you to do is we want to share your testimony, your story, because we're believing for miracles. We're going to pray every Sunday for this. Each Sunday throughout December, we're going to pray for these. And so let us know if a prayer has been answered, please respond to us on Twitter, Facebook, or just come to me and talk to me, however you want to do that. Email me. Because we want to share your story because your story could encourage someone else.